see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokers Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Hey, change into your costumes.
Keep going.
This entire podcast will now be delivered in pirate speak.
Here to make mateys.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of Here to Be Cougars Together.
The Cougar Den?
Here to Make Friends, geriatric edition?
So many options, but we definitely need to rename the show given that the battle of the age groups is continuing. And in fact, we're bringing it onto the podcast this week.
We're sitting here in our recording studio right now in a group of three, and only one of us is still worthy of walking outside of her home without that deep bravery. Having crossed the threshold of our 30s, Claire and I can barely remember what it felt like to be valued, nubile members of society.
Yeah, so we decided that we needed to bring in someone who could remind us of what that glorious feeling was like that I last had, you know, 8 months ago, which is...
I mean, a lifetime, really.
I mean, so here to join us and bring that youthful perspective is our very own colleague, arts and culture writer here at HuffPost, Priscilla Frank.
Thank you both so much for having me, and I feel so sorry for you.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's really kind. We appreciate your sympathy.
Yeah.
What are your last 6 months like as, you know, an under 30?
I guess it's only 4 months. Shit. Oh.
Don't think about it too much.
Are you preparing for death or?
Just to really keep myself covered at all times and, like, remain inside a cave as sort of like an old crone hag combo.
Wow.
It seems fun.
She has this glow that, I mean, it's crazy because as soon as you turn 30, you sort of look exactly like Fred Willard looked last night, providing color commentary.
I'm storing my blood so I can inject it back into myself later.
Yeah, one of those vampire facials. I hear those carry some health risks,
I think,
unfortunately.
It's very expensive to buy other people's young blood. So if you can bank yours.
Yeah, I'm going to be a DIY
blood
injector.
Great cost-saving measure.
Seems very safe.
But then is the blood going to age outside of your body, or does the blood stay young because it was taken out of you when you were young?
Wow, so many questions.
So many questions.
Yeah, gonna need to take out a lot just to
be safe. Demi, please enlighten us.
Yeah, she's the real scientist on the show. So as we've already gotten into, a lot of drama this week, a lot of
beefs,
feuds. Demi and Tracy continue. They're sniping at each other. There's pageant drama. Colton just can't handle anything. So let's start at the beginning. We open with the delivery of the first date card, first group date. And the date card goes to Katie, Heather, Hannah B., Courtney, Kerpa, Tracy, Demi, and Kaylin. I'm looking for life's greatest treasure. So right away, you know they're going to be heading to the beach with one of those metal detectors. I was wrong about this one, as it turns out.
I thought Demi looked really cute in her glasses.
I know.
It was a good
look.
There
were a handful of them in glasses. I love that, like, post-wake-up. They haven't done their hair yet. And they just look adorable.
It's funny because to me it still feels sort of studied. Like they're like, this is my morning look. I have these oversized blush colored frames. My hair is tousled. I'm only wearing lip balm. But like they all still kind of look styled and cute.
Yeah, they all have really good skin. Yeah, really, really good skin. I was very jealous.
Yeah, when I pull that look, my hair is like sticking out in weird little lumps.
Yeah. And also, like what they don't tell you is that you can in fact be a woman over 30 and still get acne. Mm. So yeah, mm-hmm. doesn't
what's really fun
in
is when
youth.
The wrinkles and the pimples
and the
start
acne,
to
yeah, at the same time. It's just delights.
Yeah,
so much for you to look forward to, Priscilla.
Yeah, I don't understand what you guys are saying. It's just going like, so far over my head.
You'll understand soon, honey. Just let me. I'm sorry. Let me just fix your hair. That's better.
But what we do understand is that Hannah B. and Kaylin do not like each other, and shocker. They are both on this group date.
Can you believe it?
Can you even believe that the producers would place these two with a pre-existing disdain for each other in the same date?
Shocked.
I mean, these every season, these people act like they've never seen the show before. And they're like, they know I don't like her. Why is she on this date? Don't tell them that you don't like someone if you really don't want to be on a date with them. But it does guarantee lots of screen time. And a chance for, you know, Heather to start getting on Team Hannah. It's like, oh, I'll be there for you on this date. And what she means, I guess, is I'll be there to advise you to do really dumb stuff.
Yeah, I will sabotage you from the sidelines.
And Kaylin's like, I just want to focus on Colton. I don't want to think about my past with Hannah. It doesn't last long. So they head in their huge hearse vehicle to a Pirates Dinner Adventure Theater.
A great date.
Fantastic.
For me.
Yeah.
This one would be fun.
I'm going to say Pirate Colton, it's not really his thing. I think Colton with
disagree.
Children. Colton with children better than Colton as a pirate. But I'm on board with the concept of this date.
I made a lot of guttural noises while watching Pirate Colton.
Whoa. We're learning so
I
much
love
about
Colton.
You.
I mean,
I'm into Colton too.
His vibe
just
is
not
just
really sexually.
Very clean cut. Like he looks like he's trying to disguise himself as a pirate so that the real pirates don't know that he's actually a cop, sort of thing. Like he's just so clean and has like such well-coiffed blonde hair, and his teeth are so white. It's not a pirate look. This is a man who does not exist outside the bounds of legal society, you know?
But his vibe to me is very like 90s boy band, clean cut, artificial sexy. And so the pirate look, it's very like Chippendales. I don't know. It really felt concocted fantasy
that
I was into.
And that entire date was a concocted fantasy. So
that's true.
Appropriate.
They have two, a man and a woman pirate come out in lots of black eyeliner and be like, hey, change into your costumes.
Keep going.
This entire podcast will now be delivered in pirate speak.
Here to make mateys.
A lot of new great rebranding opportunities this episode. So they all go change into these
sexy pirate costumes.
Wench outfits. Those are pirate wench costumes. Corsets. Priscilla.
Some eye patches, though.
Yeah. So Priscilla, as we've already noticed in our taping, is a connoisseur of headwear. She had to take off her head flowers in order to put on her headphones.
Head
it happened to me. I lived it.
So I was really curious what you thought about Hannah B's styling of her eye patch over her eyebrow.
You mean as the trendy headband situation?
Yeah. Like, was that something that you would wear?
Oh, definitely. If it was societally acceptable, I would rock an eye patch from time to time.
Would you put it over your eyebrow or would you allow it to cover your eye?
I guess I would allow it to cover my eye.
I would love to see Priscilla walking around New York City trying to commute with just an eye patch on. Yeah. It just sounds challenging.
Well, that's why Hannah clearly didn't want to do it. Like, she got the eye patch and she was like, I can't commit to this. I need both of my eyes open.
Also, they're learning, like, stunts.
Yeah, it was a very balance-oriented game. I wouldn't want to be on a balance beam.
It is
with
much
the eye
more
patch.
Difficult to balance when you cannot see out
tell
of one
that
eye.
To a real pirate who has to jump around a moving ship with just one eye. I mean,
hey,
I
don't, the pirate's life is not for me. Okay.
Yeah, and it's not for Hannah. It was,
but
it
she
was
is
quite a
very
look.
Good at trying to just bash women off of the plank or whatever they were.
Yeah, they prepare for the final show by they all walk along a balance beam and battle with like padded sticks,
and, like real pirates, very authentic.
Yeah, and Hannah seems to be winning all her matches, although I'm sure that that's just what they show, but. It just seems like if you just really go out and just batter the other person, you're going to win. Like, it's not like there's, like, technique or anything. It's just that Hannah comes out and just thwacks the other women right away. And they're like, oh, okay, I guess I'll just hop off now. It wasn't, you know, I was like, anyone could win this if they really committed themselves to it the way Hannah is.
That didn't allow her to, you know, save Colton, ultimately, which was the prize for
the prize
performing
was to
as best pirate.
Right. The prize was to get to battle for Colton. So two of them are selected to duel for him.
Right. It was unclear, like, what the criteria was for selecting.
Yeah, because it looked like Hannah was winning, and then she was out.
I mean, there was no explicit criteria, and so I think that they just picked someone that would really upset someone else. Like, they're like, Hannah is clearly already spiraling a little bit. Let's throw Caitlin up there instead of Hannah so she can watch Caitlin, you know, smooch Colton on top in the crow's nest or whatever.
Your pirate lingo is off the charts.
My, all that Pirates of the Caribbean is just really coming back to me now. So Caitlin and Tracy are chosen to duel. Why these two? Unclear. Caitlin didn't even try in her duel against Hannah.
No.
But they do some boasting, and then they swing from the ropes, and then Caitlin knocks Tracy off the balance beam. And then I guess Tracy is dead, and Caitlin gets to go climb up and untie Colton. I was like, you just knock her off the balance beam. She's still out there. Like, she's come
no,
after
Claire.
You. This no. is not what it
Tracy's
would really
gone.
Be like.
Tracy is gone.
You need to
goodbye,
get used to that.
Tracy. Face facts.
I mean, to be fair, she lived a long life.
Yeah, 31 whole years.
What else was she going to do?
She is expired. She has, like, just rotten milk. Toss her out.
So Caitlin climbs up to untie Colton, and then I guess they have an awkward moment that I didn't notice because I was probably tweeting something really hilarious. But apparently they're supposed to, like, kiss, but then he doesn't really want to kiss her in that moment. And so later he has to, like, apologize to her. For it.
I completely missed that as well.
Yeah. I thought they did kiss.
I think they kissed sort of awkwardly, maybe, or he, like, pecked her and
they didn't make out properly.
Right. Like, he should have, like, had a big romantic, like, swoop her across his arm and dip her and, like, I don't know.
I know. Something that I appreciate about Colton is that he gets properly awkward in situations that are awkward.
Right, like if he's supposed to make out with one of his girlfriends in front of his other seven girlfriends.
Yeah.
Atop a pirate ship. Just one of those classic awkward situations.
So it's time for the evening portion of the date. Demi has a big night. I don't know, like, how else to introduce. Demi's behavior during this date moved for me from annoying into troubling.
All I could think during this entire episode was that Tracy and Demi are both the worst for very different reasons, and I just would like them both to exit.
I do kind of enjoy how much they suck, though.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. It's gonna. I just can foresee it really grating on me in the next few weeks. Like, they seem to be, you know, taking this feud to the next week and then the next week. And, like, something's got to change.
Demi's really taking it to absurd surrealist heights. I feel like her shticks are just getting bizarre.
Well, yeah. I think she's someone who's actually watched this show quite mm-hmm. a bit. And so she's taking, like, a little bit of Courtney Robertson, a little bit of Corinne, and just, like, mashing it into this, like, bachelor villain archetype. And she's just saying sentences that fit in with that. Like, the other girls, I'm not here to make friends. I don't know. It just sounded like a bachelor villain, like, Barbie doll. Yeah, algorithm robot.
Yeah, her affect is really confusing to me. And she first she has this little spat with Tracy, who is we finally see the shot of her in that enormous shouldered red blazer looking like irritable. But mostly she just sort of sits there and doesn't say much. She's like, oh, well, Demi's talking about how we're figuring out what Colton's type is. And Tracy's like, well, as you get older, sometimes you realize that you don't need to have a type, that you can, like, date different kinds of people. And Demi kind of, like, loses her mind at this and is like...
She takes it as a personal snipe.
Which like,
perhaps it was meant to be.
Maybe it is. But, like, Demi has the most personal snipes of anyone on the show. Like, she responds to this and is very self-righteous about doing this by being like, I get that you're uncomfortable sitting around with all these younger women and attacking me. I feel so sorry for you. And I was like, that was not a proportionate response at all.
I don't think Demi is really one for proportionate responses.
No.
I'm going to say that.
But it's like, I can't be on her side if she's going to be like, how dare you say that one passive-aggressive thing to me? I'm going to say all these hateful, rude things to you now, and it's justified.
Oh, absolutely not. I am on neither of their sides. I think they're both generally awful, especially since we've now seen some really terrible racist tweets of Tracy's that have been making the rounds. Not on board with either of them. And I just also just was like, okay, we get it. The age shaming continues. We get it, Demi. That's your thing.
She's probably too young to win. Like,
yeah.
I think the sweet spot age is around Colton's age, but I feel like he's really wary of the really young women because he doesn't think that they're
well, to be
commit.
Fair, one third of them are that age. So I don't know that he is.
Demi also just like presents as particularly young.
Young, I agree. Because she's the same age as Kaylin, the same age as Cassie. Like these women who don't seem as mm-hmm. overtly immature.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen trailers for Little, the new Issa Rae movie?
No.
I'm very excited for that movie.
I feel like Demi is a little situation. Like, they just swapped her out for a child, and she's, like, living the life of an adult, but no one realizes that her body's been swapped.
Or, like, Big.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, similar plot.
Similar
Big.
Idea.
A reference from a generation I can understand. We really see this when she then steals Colton from Courtney and sits him down in this little area with all these props, and she blindfolds him. She's like, oh, I was just so fucking excited to see you, and I just love smelling you and just being like, and like doing her shoulder
it
shimmy.
Was so much.
It was
so much.
Yeah, very serial killer sexy.
And it gets more serial killer. She wants to do something different to stand out, so she blindfolds him. She has him stand up and bend forward, and then she spanks him with a paddle.
And there was no consent. This is not a commentary on like enjoying being spanked. Whatever you like, go for it. But you should not blindfold someone and then touch them in a sexual manner or in any manner without asking for permission.
It's true.
It's not acceptable.
He seemed alarmed.
He seemed very uncomfortable throughout the entire interaction.
Yeah, where he was like, oh, boy.
Yeah. Then she played Are You Nervous with him, which I was like, oh, well, that I have not heard of that game since, like, sixth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very, like, we're just middle schoolers exploring our bodies for the first time. But he's blindfolded, so she uses a mannequin hand to kind of grope down toward...
Someone with another object, it's not
fine.
Groping.
It's totally allowed.
Yeah, at the end where she was like, I was touching your dick with this other hand. Like, that's probably weirder.
Yeah, it was just an object carved in the shape of a hand and not actually my hand. Don't you feel crazy for being uncomfortable now?
And he was like, yes, I am nervous. I am.
Yeah. She kept being like, are you nervous? And he kept being like, yeah. And then she just kept going. That's not how the game works.
No, the game, you're supposed to stop when they say, I'm nervous.
Right.
That's the whole thing.
There were so many, like, instances of violated consent in this one interaction, and Colton seemed so freaked out. And what's interesting is that Demi really read that as him being, like, excited and intrigued. And I was like, it concerns me that you read, like, fear and discomfort as positive emotions of romantic engagement with you.
She seems to really, like, drum up a lot of fear in everyone around her. So I feel like that's just her baseline. It's like, people seem terrified of me. And then what else?
Yeah. She's like, at least I'm having an effect. And we see this again. She comes back to the group, and Courtney immediately pulls her aside, and Demi handles it with her usual aplomb. Courtney says, your delivery is coming across maybe not the way you intend, and you should be more aware. And Demi's like, I'm going to be who I am, and I'm just annoyed by this conversation. I'm not going to do this, dude. And she says all these things that are sort of confrontational, but with this completely flat affect that I found sort of confusing. Like, it almost felt like she was just like, these are the lines that I'm going to deliver here, but she wasn't really feeling it or something.
Well, that's her entire being, though. Like, it all feels a bit, like, personally produced.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it seemed like she was interpreting the comment as being, like, you must change. I don't accept you as a person. And really, the woman was just, Courtney was just like, don't be such a bitch. But she's like, I'm not going to just change my voice, as if she was just asking her to have, like, a makeover for no reason.
It also seems, unfortunately, that she's going to be going after Courtney in future episodes. And I just, this girl, she's kind of a mean girl. Yeah. Demi is kind of a mean girl. And it's not super fun to watch.
Most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, it is fun to a point, and then it crosses a line for me where it just makes me sad and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's
delicate,
like,
balance there.
She's like, none of the girls really have the balls to maintain a problem with me. They're intimidated by my confidence.
Maybe they just want to, like, say their piece and then be done with it.
Mm. No, I think
not
they're intimidated
possible.
By her confidence and how untouchable she is.
I mean, I truly am. I would probably not ever speak to her and be like, yeah, I don't want to fucking get into it with you.
Yeah. No, she reminds me of, like, teenagers that you see on the subway and they, like, casually bully you in passing. And you're like, why am I crying about something a 16-year-old just said to me?
That's very relatable. Yeah.
I mean,
if a 16-year-old bullied me, I would cry still.
Nothing has changed in that regard since high school. So Colton also had some time with Katie. They have so much in common.
Like,
probably their five favorite
sushi.
Things they have in common. Probably, like, their top five favorite things. They would just say the same thing. Like, oh, my God, like, sushi.
Oh, my God.
It's so crazy. God.
It's wild.
Wait, do you like sushi?
No. I'm kidding. I love sushi.
Thank God.
Well, I think we're compatible.
Yeah. They do seem to, like, have a really great level of chemistry.
I'm very into their dynamic. Yeah. It's really, really sweet. And Colton, it's just such a refreshing change from Ari, because you can really, like, read his reactions to people very obviously. And he is also much more effusive verbally about liking people. And he says to them, like, I like you. I want to know what makes you you. He's really growing on me.
I feel like Katie gave him the I like you line this time, which they normally don't say. They kind of go straight to I'm falling for you. And then he really picked it up and started using it on everyone. But I feel like it's a really cute line that takes you out of the confines of the show, and it's just very normal.
Exactly.
Very
it's how you would feel after having spent a few, you know, dates or moments with someone, and they give you that butterfly feeling, and you just want to tell them, like, I like being around you.
Yeah, it was really sweet, because it's not really in the normal script, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when she first hung out with him, like, night one, I guess, he seemed really into her, and she seemed a little more, like, reserved about their connection. So I do feel like she is starting to feel it more, and is feeling the need to, like, express it, because maybe it wasn't quite as immediate. But I generally get a vibe from her that, like, she's someone I would want to impress. Like, she seems nice and kind of funny, but also, like, probably judging me. I don't know why. But I just, like, there's something about her, like, expressions and, like, the way she talks that I'm like, I feel like if we met, I would be convinced that she didn't like me. And I would just be desperate to make her like me.
She seems less eager for Colton's approval, like, a little more comfortable with herself.
Exactly.
Which is probably why he likes her.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Elise gives off a similar vibe, and he's clearly very into her as well.
Yeah, because he's so afraid of being taken advantage of, as he mentions later. So then Colton sits down with Kaylin and is like, I regret not really taking that moment to really lay one on you like I should have.
So I will now.
So I will now. And he kisses her. And then he sort of like hugs her from the side, but like wraps his arms all the way around her and kind of like nuzzles his head into her shoulder, which I just kind of loved it. It's so boyish, and it reminds me of like the way my husband acts, which is like I'm not like suave or like macho. I'm just like, I really like you, like in a kid way. And it's sort of cute, but it's not the kind of vibe you usually get from The Bachelor, you know? Like, I feel like he has a much more, like, unpracticed dating vibe than most of the men we see on the show.
I think that's why I've started to really enjoy him.
Yeah, it's very sweet. His walls come completely down around her for now. So meanwhile, Hannah is like peeking over the ledge at the two of them and telling Heather that the girl she used to be friends with, Kaylin, in their former life as pageant contestants, was totally different, had a totally different personality than what she's seen with Colton.
She is, in fact, befumbled
by
this change.
She doesn't know another word.
Just befumbled, which is not, in fact, a word.
It's a good one, though.
Yeah, I mean.
I get it. I know what she means.
Maybe it'll happen.
I do think she really meant befuddled, and there's just no need to combine that with another word. Befuddled exactly describes what she's talking
about. She meant befuddled.
Yes. She's shook, and she thinks that Colton needs to know the truth.
I think you guys should definitely find someone at this pageant to interview.
Oh, wow. That's
a real
great
scoop.
Point.
The interesting thing is that Hannah doesn't even seem able to articulate what that truth is.
Yes.
Other than the fact that she doesn't like Kaylin.
Yeah. She tells Colton that they used to be friends. Some things happened. They had a falling out. They haven't talked since. Colton's like, okay, is there something I should like know that's relevant to me? And Hannah says, being in a high-stress environment with her was the most hostile situation I've ever been in. Colton's like, okay, is she, like, manipulative? Is she fake? Like,
I appreciated that he was trying to ask specific questions. He's like, okay, what should I be extrapolating from this thing you're telling me?
But even then, I'm like, don't ask about traits. Ask what she did.
Yeah.
Like, she can, as we see throughout the episode, they can both say, oh, she's manipulative, she's fake. But neither of them can, like, point to an example
of it. No specifics. No specifics were given.
It's very – so, you know, then he's ultimately just left being like, they both say the other person is manipulative and fake. Which one do I believe? I don't know. There's no evidence. Hannah at this point is like, well, if that's what you want, you don't want me because we're so different. And Colton collapses at this.
I don't think she meant it as an ultimatum, but I think he took it as one.
Well, because what else could it mean?
Right, it
I think she was just kind of like,
ultimatum.
We're so different. I don't know. I don't think it occurred to her.
I think she wanted affirmation, but what it came off as was, you have to make a choice.
Yeah,
and it's week three.
Yeah.
So it's not a good moment for you to, you know, put anything out there that sounds like an ultimatum.
It was weird because it definitely wasn't presented as an ultimatum. Like, she clearly didn't. But I don't know what kind of reaction she could ever think that would get. Other than him feeling like he had to pick one of them. Because if you say, we're so different, I don't see how you could be into both of us, then he's going to have to say, like, well, then I guess I'm into you and therefore not her. Like, what's a good response to that?
Yeah, I mean, it clearly was a sort of ultimatum, but I could just, when she was recapping what happened later, and she was just like, Colton seemed to think that was a bold statement.
It was a bold statement.
But I think that she just was like, I was just comparing us and making a totally neutral, objective comparison.
Oh, God.
Hannah just played this whole thing so, so wrong.
She did, yeah.
I mean, it's the kind of thing that's bound to happen in this sort of weird situation where you might be actively dating the same guy as your worst enemy, which is like in the real world, if that happened, I feel like you would kind of be like, it's her or me, or cut your losses and leave. But you just, that's not the structure of the show. You can't do that.
You got to stick around and live with that person.
Exactly.
And probably go to an island with them for a two-on-one date eventually.
Oh, God, I can't
One can only hope.
Yeah.
So then Colton has to pull Kaylin aside again and try to get her side of it. Kaylin takes this very hard. She says they handled the competitive environment at Miss USA differently.
They both mentioned that.
Yeah. It's probably true. That's probably the one true thing.
Yeah, the one true thing is that they handle competition differently. Mostly because Kaylin wins all of her competitions.
Yeah, I mean, well, we can see them handling the competition differently right now.
I am going to put this out there. Being runner-up is not winning. It sounds harsh, but it's true.
No.
Kaylin did not win Miss USA.
Which also really made me think she's ripe for a runner-up storyline on this show as well.
Mm-hmm. Always the runner-up. Never the bride?
Yeah.
Runner.
The runner.
Never the runner.
Never the runner.
So Kaylin tells Colton, she kind of turns it back to more her personally, and she says, well, I've had trauma in my past, like really real things that have happened to me, and I'm not really ready to talk about them with you, but I will at some point because that's part of a relationship, but we're not there yet. And she starts crying. He hugs her, and then he gives her the group date rose. So Hannah at this point has completely blown that whole situation. And, like, I think she was worried that Kaylin would talk shit about her to Colton first. But there's no actual advantage to being the person who talks shit about the other person first on this show.
You never want to be first.
And then she proceeds to play the victim for the whole rest of the episode when she was the person who instigated this whole
conflict.
Right,
that part was very bizarre to me. It's like she had completely forgotten that this entire situation was happening because she brought it up.
Yeah, she's like, I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything.
What
you actually definitely started this.
Also, of course, Kaylin was going to then talk about it because she brought an accusation to Colton about another person.
And they just said the exact same things.
Right,
it wasn't like she even took it that much farther. It's like she just threw it right back at you.
Yeah. Hannah was really just like a Roman candle of self-destructiveness this episode, shooting across the sky.
I blame Heather.
Yeah, I mean, Heather's a shitster. Mm-hmm. She was really instigating.
Also, did you notice that Heather seems to have had a birthday that went unremarked upon?
Really?
She's 23
She's
this 23 episode.
Now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday, Heather.
Happy birthday, Heather.
Sweet 23. Never been kissed. It's going to happen for her soon. Did it happen already?
No.
Okay. I was like, that would have been great if I missed that momentous moment in my life. When Heather gets kissed.
It's a real milestone for Claire.
Exactly. What if I missed that? Go ahead. So Kaylin and Hannah are both very distraught now. Hannah feels frustrated and hurt, even though this is all her fault. Kaylin, having gotten the rose, feels like the joy of that was stolen from her by what was said to Colton. On the other hand, I feel like there's a very strong possibility that she only got the rose because of what was said about her. So I was sort of like, eh. I feel like got to take the win here.
Yeah.
But it does seem like she had a really strong fear response to the idea of Hannah still being there because Hannah has proven willing to unprovoked, undermine her. And so the next morning we see her still. She's like, I couldn't sleep. I am shaking. I'm so scared. And Hannah also says something I thought was pretty revealing. to Heather, which is, it would suck if he sent me home before her. I would feel like a freaking idiot.
Mm. He will.
Mm-hmm. He will. And also, it, I mean, could you make it more clear that you really just see this as a replay of Miss USA and
right.
you would want to be the runner-up?
Right.
Over...
Your value is determined by your proximity to Kaylin in the placement of this this competition.
Her dream is to be the runner-up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't want you. I just want that coveted runner-up title.
As long as Kaylin doesn't win. You know?
Yeah.
As long as I'm at least one place above Kaylin, I will get what
yeah,
I wanted out of this.
She can go home like 10th as long as Kaylin goes home 11th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Second date card arrives for Elise. Love is in the air.
My 31-year-old Queen Elise.
Okay, Elise talks like a 70-year-old. I had not, I mean, we talked about paper, scissors, rock. Has she been out in the world? Like, she was saying, like, oh, I'm just so stinking excited for this date. And, like, just so darn into him. I'm smitten. I was like, oh, boy. Like, we're not in the same generation, linguistically.
Colton's kind of like that, too.
I was going to say Colton speaks that way also.
Yeah, he's always like, gee whiz. Okay.
Yeah, jeepers.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a sort of scrubbed Christian thing that I'm mm-hmm. picking up on instead of age. So they're getting in a helicopter. Her first time, even though she's already over 30. You can still have firsts after 30.
I mean, how many times have we all been in helicopters?
I mean, a lot.
Dozens.
Yeah. God, every date I go on, it's like, God, another helicopter.
When I get my date card, I'm like, we know what this means.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm just exhausted by going to all these helipads.
So they are flying to San Diego.
The other San.
San Diego. And he just can't wait to see her face when they get to San Diego.
It's a pretty similar face to being in LA.
Having not been to either, it's hard for me to say, but Priscilla, you are a Los Angeles native.
I would say LA is pretty much objectively superior to San Diego, except for the beach is beautiful. But where they were, I mean, the amusement park looked really fun.
Yeah.
Also, she has been stuck in a house, unable to exit the premises. So
yes.
I can imagine, you know, a look of elation. Like,
yeah.
There's air. There's other places in existence other than this one large home.
It's true. That does sound nice.
Yeah.
Air is good.
Air is good.
Yeah.
These poor women have been imprisoned for weeks.
I'm so much just like, I'm free.
I really think that might be what it feels like.
I mean, yeah. I don't want to overstate it. So they arrive at this amusement park and he says, I know you thought it would be a one-on-one, but it's actually a group date. Elise turns to a smiling stone. She is very upset that the other women will be there. But of course they aren't. It is a group date because there are a bunch of kids there.
I knew it would either be puppies or kids.
Yeah, I was mm-hmm. hoping for 50, puppies.
Me too. But these kids are really freaking cute.
They
were
really
very cute.
They were adorable. And so this looked like a fun date.
It really did.
And they had a really
lovely chemistry.
It gave
me a lot of contact anxiety. I'm scared of kids. You heard it here first. I'm afraid of kids.
I thought it looked fun.
In what way?
I'm afraid they'll judge me.
Mm-hmm.
Even that young?
Yeah.
Yes. No, especially that young. Because I think that, like, at least with teens, I can be like, teens are so mean, right? And people will be like, yeah, they are. But if you're like, I'm afraid of, like, five-year-olds because everyone will be like, why? They're so pure. And that's why. It's because if they don't like you, people think it's because you're a really bad person.
That's actually true. And the people that I'm scared of most are my five-year-old nieces.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they don't like something about you, they just say it right away.
Yeah.
And it's cold. Yeah.
And then everyone is like, oh, no, kids don't like her. She's not going to be a good mom.
And if you seem ruffled or offended, then you look like a psychopath.
Exactly.
They're like, they started it.
Guys, toddlers are just truth tellers.
Oh, man.
We need them to check us.
But sometimes they ask questions that don't need to be asked.
That is a great point,
Priscilla.
Would you
that
like to be
fair.
More specific? It sounds like
why
it's...
do you have so much arm hair? A true question asked to me.
Wow.
And you're like, wow, I dealt with that anxiety in seventh grade.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing me back.
It's clear that the journalistic instinct really runs through your whole family's DNA.
Yeah, it's true.
Investigative. That's
yeah.
true.
Like, this is on the record.
But I still thought this was adorable. I think like the, you know, former camp counselor in me came out and I was like, this looks fun. Yeah. I get to ride roller coasters with these little babies who say funny things.
It also sounds nice really not to be totally alone with your date so early on, so it doesn't get awkward. It just kind of guarantees that things will run smoothly.
And it's like maximum adorableness.
Yeah, yeah.
And like seeing Colton interact with the kids, they seem to be having a lot of fun. There was that cute little moment way at the end during the credits where the producers had clearly fed the kids lines and they were like acting out the SNL skit, basically.
I was like, oh, this is cute and funny. And then Colton said to one of them, I think you're too young for me. And then I turned completely on the sketch like that. I was like, oh, my God, they're all too young for him. This is gross. Why am I laughing at this? So also the other issue that I had was it's such a transparent test. It's so transparent that it's like, are you mom material? Because, like, based on how you act with these, like, 40 strange children.
Well, also, like, how many, you know, good eggs does she really have left? So he needs to, you know, get that answer.
I know. There's no time
right
for her
away.
To develop as into being a mother.
Mm-hmm. No. It's like now or never. Freeze your eggs. Harvest them. Let's get them.
It's like the fantasy suite. You're getting pregnant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if he's ready to, you know, to take that step.
He's like, I'll be losing my virginity and also creating a baby.
Yeah.
It's just like rapid fire.
Wow. Yeah. That would be a story to tell your kids. So they go on roller coasters, carousels. They scoop ice cream for the kids. At the top of the roller, like he goes up alone on a roller coaster with her. At the top, they pause before the descent. And he says, it's so nice to see you so good with kids.
The only quality that matters for a woman, Claire.
I'm telling you, this date setup bugs me. And she's like, I think he'll be a really good dad, even though he's only 26. And
it also probably was a little bit for her to see him because she was worried about him being too young. So I feel like it was kind of mutually.
If she hasn't seen Colton with any, you know, kids by now, it's not for lack of trying.
He's surrounded.
So the day date goes well. In the evening, they have dinner in sort of the foyer of an old manor or something. Someone on Twitter mentioned that it looked like the same place where Jade had the princess date with Chris.
Yeah, which I didn't note at the time, but
it
I would believe
it. At least exactly the same. An interesting location for dinner. I always love seeing where they make them have dinner.
Because also they don't actually eat the dinner. They eat dinner beforehand.
It's a staging area. And this is when Elise opens up to Colton.
Well, first Colton says he really loves how confident and independent she is. He's just really into strong women, guys. I don't know if you've heard. Mm-hmm. Colton.
Especially if they can
loves
flip
a strong
tires.
Woman.
And then he wants that kind of strength.
Right. That kind
how
of strength.
Else do you
not
know?
Mentally.
And then he's like, I want to know why you are so confident and independent and strong. And that is when she opens up to him about.
And tells a really, really heart-wrenching, deeply sad story.
This is something we want to talk about very carefully. It was very sensitive and very tragic, but we also want to sort of examine the broader implications of how it was talked about and the messages that it sent. Elise reveals that her sister was a labor and delivery nurse. She was married. She was pregnant with her second child when she was diagnosed with cancer. And she says, you know, obviously putting the baby first. The doctors just wanted to get the baby as close to term as possible. My sister put her body through an incredible amount to bring that baby into our lives. And then she passed away. The baby survived. And she talked a little bit about a nonprofit that they started called Sarah's Closet, which I think is to donate clothes and other goods for newborns to new parents. And so this was a really, really difficult story for a lot of people to hear. It was really tragic. And also seemed to carry certain probably unintentional implications that it was correct or virtuous for her sister to, as it sounds, and we don't really know for sure, but like it sounds like she deferred treatment in order to keep the pregnancy. And that is a choice that's really valorized in a lot of circles, especially American, like conservative Christian circles, that you would never terminate a pregnancy, even if it meant giving up your own life. And that is sort of like a message that we hope people don't take away, because a mother's life is also very important. And there is nothing wrong with a woman choosing to prioritize her health.
Yeah. And we want to be clear that this commentary is not a commentary on this individual woman's choice. I feel really strongly, and I know Claire and Priscilla do as well, that every woman should make whatever medical choice is best for her and her family, and that is between her and her doctor and anyone else that she wants to personally bring into that process. This gets more complicated, and the reason we wanted to address this is because this story was broadcast to millions of people within the context of it being seen as Claire said, you know, virtuous in some capacity, it sends a larger message. So this is, again, not any sort of criticism at all about the decision that Elise's sister made. We do not know the larger medical details. And regardless of what they are, it really doesn't matter, because she made the choice that was best for her, best for her family. Clearly, this has made a huge impact on Elise's life, as of course it would. And we have nothing but the utmost empathy for that family, what they've been through. But because in this country, there is a pretty active conversation, and sometimes, you know, an active conversation filled with misinformation surrounding women's healthcare choices, specifically in terms of what should be prioritized in some of these high-risk situations, the life of the mother or the viability of a fetus. We think it's just important to explicitly state that it's not perhaps an of course that you would prioritize the health of a fetus over the life and health of the mother. And that is something that we believe every woman should have the opportunity to make an informed decision with access to all healthcare options in those situations. And this felt especially important to bring up because today is actually the 46th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion federally. So, you know, again, we acknowledge that this is really personal, really, really difficult topic to bring up. And I tweeted about this last night, and I think that some people did feel that I was getting on a soapbox and criticizing Elise's sister specifically. So I did want to clarify that that was certainly not the intention, but also that we feel strongly that any conversation that happens on this show is by virtue of the fact that it is on a television show that a lot of people watch, bringing in a broader message than just that one story.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. And obviously this was a situation that no matter what choices were made, would have been incredibly painful and tragic for the whole family. And it's clear that that it has been. And that Elise has been through a lot, and it must have been really tough to talk about that.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from week 3 of The Bachelor.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all, like, weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit. And I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
So, Colton receives this story. Obviously, it's a very painful story, but he really appreciates her opening up to him and sharing some of what she's gone through. And he gives her the rose, and we all know what that means. A country music concert.
What a real weird, like, turnabout. Like, this very intense, intimate, emotional moment. And then the payoff is you get to dance on a tiny platform surrounded by hundreds of screaming random people while
Tennille Arts,
a country star you've probably never heard of, sings one song.
Maybe they got to stay for the whole concert. I really don't know.
I think these things usually, like, all of the fans are packed in there for, like, 4 hours, and then the Bachelor and Bachelorette come out at midnight, dance for one song, and then exit.
Yeah. It was
deeply romantic.
It really highlighted the sort of sometimes quid pro quo feeling that they have on the show for, like, give us something we can turn into a heartstring tugging moment and you will get to go to a concert. Like, come on.
No matter what you do, the prize is concert.
Could that be my punishment?
Yeah, I would,
like,
just
you've lost. You need to go to this Tennille Arts concert and stand on a tiny platform.
Alone.
Yeah.
There was that haunting shot of everyone filming them on their iPhones that looked especially dystopian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Graham. So it's time for date number three, the final group date of the episode. Tayshia, Nina, Catherine, Sydney, Onyeka, Cassie, Nicole, and Caitlin. For every strong man, there is an even stronger woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. I was going to say, that sounds like a really bad tattoo that someone definitely has. I was in Miami this weekend, and I saw a woman who had a giant back tattoo that said, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." Just over her whole, and then
like
a Robert
that tattoo,
Frost
probably.
Quote.
Oh my god!
Wow.
I was like, "This is bold." Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you believe it, prove it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, getting a tattoo that size would probably kill me, or
make me stronger. Let's try.
It sounds like something you would get, like, buy on Etsy from, like, a lettering person in a little frame.
Yeah, you would get that, and then one, you know, a matching one that says live, laugh, love.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then one that says nasty woman.
Or dance like no one's watching.
Just a little, like, feminist-y-ish corner. So
ish.
Ish. Like, what's the math on that exactly? For every strong man, there is an even stronger. It's like we're all just stronger than all the men, I guess.
I mean,
yeah.
Not inaccurate.
This quote's making more and more sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, really grown on me, actually.
At first it seemed very fake, but now
I will get that as a tattoo now that I think about it a little bit more. Or at least an inspirational poster.
Yeah. So Colton is at a gym and he exits topless to the sounds of some sort of
Colton's
metal
shirt
jam.
Cannot stay on for too long.
Mm-mm. I don't like the shirtless dude look. Like, maybe this is weird, but I'm never looking at a hot guy and being like, man, I wish he had his shirt off right now.
Speak for yourself.
I like more of a glimpse, you know? I like the sort.
What's the glimpse? Like, now I'm picturing that, like, Euro trash look where they just have an unnecessary amount of buttons unbuttoned.
Well, or, like, if you can, like, they're wearing, like, a clingy shirt, maybe, like, a T-shirt, or maybe they have just, like, a couple buttons unbuttoned. Or maybe
they stretch.
Or they stretch and you see a little bit.
Sure, the stretching thing I get.
Yeah, the full shirtless thing, I'm just like, okay. Like, because then he had, like, the tight pants on, and I was like, this whole look is not computing for me. But everyone on the show was extremely excited, so.
He's just such a beefcake, and, like, I feel like he has to perform his beauty in a way that women normally do, so I really appreciate when they just, like, eat him up and ogle him.
That's
just
true.
Like, you're pretty.
I just get so uncomfortable when people, like, shriek with sexual excitement in a group. It's like, oh, my God, we all want to have sex with him so bad.
Yeah.
It's like the theme of this show. Onyeka is just really goes for it. She's like, I'm running. I'm doing the hug jump. Mm. And I'm getting to this shirtless beefcake first.
I mean, power move. Colton's like, I grew up around fitness. And so that's what we're going to do today.
Where he said, you don't have to be the fittest person to be my wife, but it's just like, what a hellscape.
It's like, but Terry Crews' wife is incredibly fit, so what's your excuse?
Yeah, if you don't know how to work that, like, what's that thing where you do the two whips
or something?
Yeah.
Everything about this date was a real nightmare to me.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Like, I don't want anyone to be looking at me when I'm working out.
I will say one thing wasn't a nightmare, and that is, in fact, that Terry Crews and his wife.
That was very exciting. Mm-hmm. That was very. I love Terry Crews so much.
Me too. And maybe it's just because I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Hilarious show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
also, he's like a woke
feminist. I feel like I know
feminist.
Him. He is.
He was part of the Gillette commercial.
I've still never watched it, and I never will. I'm not going to do it. Even for Terry.
Fine.
Terry says that he and his wife, Rebecca, have been married for 29 years. I did not know he was old enough to have legally been married for 29 years.
He looks good.
That is shocking to me.
He's 50.
Yeah, so they got married really young.
Wow. I love that he was also recognized for his work in White Chicks, of all things. Real throwback hit.
I was like, this is why Brooklyn Nine-Nine got canceled. None of these girls have ever seen it, apparently. He says, you know, that his wife was the glue keeping the family together. And they're going to find Colton his strong woman. So right away we learned that Nicole can't do a pull-up. And I related to her.
Big time.
Same.
But I was sort of almost surprised. I was like, I really didn't think that they let people come on the show who
if you
didn't
can't do a pull-up.
Go to Pilates 47 times a week.
Pull-ups are the hardest thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if you go to Pilates a lot, that doesn't mean that you can do a pull-up.
But she like seemed like freaked out from the beginning. She was like, this is not my scene. Like, I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. The gym is not my scene. I mean, same.
Yeah, true. But like, I've always thought that that was why I couldn't be on The Bachelor. But it turns out it's just my natural lack of beauty. So meanwhile, Sydney, who is a dancer, lets Colton stretch her out. Her legs go all the way back.
Not surprising, given that she is a professional dancer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
the other girls are pearl clutching. Cassie says, Colton's definitely not a stretching virgin anymore, which is a line that was teased so much.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
No sense. Definitely knows. I'm like, he probably has stretched before this.
Yes.
But has he stretched a woman's leg back behind her ear? I don't know. Maybe. It's quite possible. He did date a gymnast.
Mm, yeah. Point.
So probably.
Like, he's been around flexible women. He dated Allie Raisin. Like...
That's true.
She's flexible as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you guys stretching virgins?
Yes.
Me too.
Although.
I don't exactly. I still don't understand exactly what it means. Yeah, so I can't. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Greg and I hired for like 2 sessions a trainer before our wedding. Because we were like, this is our chance. We're going to like learn how to exercise. And I have to say, it's very weird being stretched out by someone else next to your spouse. Like, it feels very weird.
Sounds like it.
Because it does feel like it is a very, like, sexual interaction that, like, your bodies can be in, like, similar sort of alignments as, like, a sex position. And it's, like, you're touching a lot. And it's, like, I'm, like, in a public gym area. And it's weird. So I get it. I feel like I get what Cassie was saying. I'm the only one here. And I'm fine with that. So now it's time for the event. Bachelor's Strongest Woman competition. And Chris Harrison and Fred Willard are here to call the action. Fred is looking like he's kind of like dissolving at the margins, like an old stack of papers.
Yeah, way older than 31.
I mean, a 31-year-old woman and Fred, sort of.
Yeah, hard to tell him and Elise apart sometimes.
And they always bring him in for these. And as a fan of Christopher Guest movies, I get it. He is great in Best in Show as the commentator. But I'm sort of curious if he actually ad-libbed any of that or if he was working from a script, because he doesn't seem to have a lot of off-the-cuff sort of witty commentary.
I feel like he used to make a lot of dirty kind of off-brand jokes for The Bachelor, and this one was very vanilla and just recappy and bland.
Yeah. He was like, she's pulling it all the way, or whatever. And it's like,
yeah. She's flipping that tire. Yes.
Thanks, Fred. So they have to do some love-themed feats of strength, push a 100-pound wedding cake down an aisle of rocky dirt.
Just a very normal prenuptial activity.
Yeah.
This is so humiliating.
It is.
It's horrible.
Truly a nightmare, as I said.
Yeah, yeah.
An athletic competition in front of an audience.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Just
no, thank
brutal.
You. Onyeka's into it. She ran track, and she's like, I'm the physically, mentally, and emotionally strong woman he needs. I don't actually think Colton particularly wants a physically strong woman. It was just the gimmick for the date. So, like, whatever. He doesn't, for example, seem bothered at all that Nicole cannot push the wedding cake anywhere at all.
He's a feminist. He would only date a woman who can pull a wedding cake.
I mean, he gave Nicole the rose, and she couldn't push it at all.
Oh, fair. Yeah. He gave her the rose. Take it all back.
There's tire flipping. Tires are a lot heavier than I realized because I do not do
CrossFit.
That was
a very large tire.
True. There's a
limo pole. Colton really knows the weight of tires. He's like 150 pounds.
I mean, I think it's like a CrossFit thing, right? Mm. Or like, I feel like
yeah.
It's...
Yeah, see, everything about that style of exercise is terrifying to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely goes to a gym where they're like, all right, we're going to start you on the 100-pound tires. And then if that goes well, we're going to move you up to the 150-pound tires over there. And he's like, got it. I know what those look like now. Then the finalists are Sydney, Onyeka, and Catherine. They have to sort of sprint while carrying a heavy ball with a heart on it, and then they have to put the heart on the pedestal.
Wait, did Caitlin really move that car? There's no way, right?
That was really weird.
That was really weird.
I really don't know.
I don't know. But also,
it was really
weird. The visual of these women being chained to a vehicle and then having to...
Just falling over. It was too much.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
My thing was, it is on wheels, so maybe it just, like, rolled. Maybe it wasn't even that hard. I've never tried to pull a car, you guys.
Me neither, shockingly.
Well, look, we can go outside after this. Just get some chains. Chain Claire to the nearest taxi and just see how it goes.
You have to put it in neutral so that the wheels will roll freely.
Mm-hmm.
I know about these things. So Onyeka wins the race. If you're not first, you're last, she says, which is not true.
It's a quote from Talladega Nights, my favorite movie.
She loves
and
her comedies.
And you call yourself the book's critic.
Well, Talladega Nights is, and I'm going to be really pedantic here, not a book.
It's based on some great literature, I hear.
So the other girls have to then pull Onyeka and Colton in the limo. The crowd just is chanting, kiss her, kiss her. He does not want to kiss her. This moment stood out to me as quite awkward.
Yeah.
He ends up sort of pecking her a couple times. I don't think that he is into Onyeka. I don't see
it. I think he enjoys her.
It's not the same thing.
No, I don't think that he's into her romantically.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think he likes spending time with her.
Yeah, he likes her energy.
Yeah.
And she's fun.
He did say all those things.
Yeah, but when he said, she's always so spontaneous, it's like, is she? She always comes with four props and like a clear skit.
Well, it's like how men will be like, I love how she doesn't wear makeup. And it's like, she does the best makeup of anyone. Like, there's just, he's so taken in by the result that he is able to overlook all of the effort that clearly went into it.
Crazy that she just had a snorkel.
She's so spontaneous. So spontaneous of her to just have a whistle with her.
Yeah.
So then we get to the evening date. Colton sits down with Tayshia and tells her that he needs a strong woman who will really put her foot down with him, which, based on the women he actually likes, is not true. He likes the women who are like, I'm just so awkward because I like you so much.
Well, Tayshia needs a strong man. So a match made in heaven?
That's not how compatibility works. But they kiss. And then back among the women, Caitlin is kind of freaking out because she hasn't had enough time with Colton yet. She's feeling the pressure. Nicole sits down with Colton and tells him that she just loves the strong woman theme because her grandma fled Cuba and is a really strong woman. And Colton is like, I know that you're mentally strong.
Because you are clearly not physically strong.
And she's like, I'm here for the right reasons. And then they make out and she giggles and says, gracias, papi.
I like Nicole.
Yeah. Yeah, I would want to be called Poppy.
That could happen. We could make that happen. Oh, okay, yeah, just guys. If you're cool.
No, you could call me Poppy.
around the office.
Yeah. Monday is Poppy.
This is your new nickname.
Yeah.
It's set.
I'm always trying to give myself new nicknames.
Colton brings Onyeka some cake from the wedding cake pole, which I did not realize was a real cake. He loves her contagious energy.
It didn't really make sense. Also, they were, like, pulling it down a dirt path. Like, do you really want to eat something?
It definitely was just a different cake.
Definitely.
Conspiracy.
Because that would be... make no
sense. A second cake. There was a second cake involved.
Read about it on my blog.
Bachelor
revealed.
There's
great stuff in there on chemtrails, too. Okay, so he ends up in, like, a sort of luxury apartment with Cassie. Up against, like, big open windows.
Oh, yeah.
He's into Cassie, even though we've seen very little of her.
Mm-hmm. She's definitely going to go far.
Yeah.
He really likes her. She's, like, making out with her up against a window. All I could think was, I really hope that glass is extremely strong because they're leaning a lot of weight on it. He's like, she's cute. He says this to her. He's like, you're cute, you're quirky, you're awkward. What a neg.
Yeah, she was like, I'm not that awkward. What the hell?
She was like, this is shaking my whole, like, self-image.
Yeah. That's your first impression. She's also not that awkward. She's really together.
No.
And lovely.
I mean, it's like the cheerleader being like, I'm such a nerd.
Totally.
It's like, I'm different from the really put-together cheerleaders.
Yeah,
but you're not.
I fall sometimes.
I'm so clumsy.
Yeah.
And she's like, maybe it's just because I like you. And
also, cute is kind of an egg.
Yeah, he says, well, he says she's cute and sexy, which means she has, like, if you're just cute, then it's like saying you're not sexy. Mm-hmm. But if you're cute and also sexy.
Yeah, that's almost the ideal.
Yeah.
Although, have you guys ever seen He's Just Not That Into You?
A long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
I for some reason, really like that movie. I'm not proud. And Scarlett Johansson's character has this game she keeps trying to play where she's like, you know, you have to pick 2 out of 4 traits to describe someone: smart, funny, cute, and sexy. Like Bill Clinton would be smart and sexy, or, you know,
yeah,
something like that. And then the guy that she's hooking up with is like, well, you're cute and sexy. And she's like, no one wants to be all one category. And that was all I could think during that scene, is that, like, she's all in one category for him. But I think that a lot of people actually would like to be all in one category. Okay, he's talking to Caitlin.
Wow. Mm. Just a lot to get into here.
So good.
A lot, and also very little, because yeah, we learn nothing about her.
Yeah, I could not tell what was going on during this conversation.
It was edited kind of oddly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of those things where it kept cutting up what she was saying and showing us such boring things that you're like, maybe she said more interesting things that they
right.
cut out. However, he did immediately send her home, so they can't have been cutting out anything that great. He sits her down and is like, I want to sort of get to know you more deeply. And she's like, well, I can't think of anything I want to share about my life other than, like, today was great, which is not a thing to share about her life.
Right. And I understand that maybe she might have felt pressured to, you know, come up with an intense sob story or mm-hmm. share some, you know, perform some trauma that she had experienced in her life. And maybe she was drawing a blank there, mm-hmm. which is a crappy pressure that this show puts, you know, its contestants, puts on its contestants. Yeah. But we have definitely seen people come up with things other than tonight was great to say about
themselves.
He had
a great bonding episode earlier that night or earlier that week with Katie, just because they both like sushi. Like,
right.
literally
yeah.
think of
talk
anything
about food,
specific.
Talk about Canada. She's Canadian.
Yeah.
What do you love about where you know, the country you grew up in?
She can't offer him any details about anything. That's
like,
very...
what's your, you know, what do you do for work? Maybe talk about that.
He asks her what she'd say about being ready, like, right now, and this is why. And she's like, well, I love going out with friends and just, like, having a ridiculous time, and I'd be happy to open up to you about that.
Very weird.
Okay.
Very weird.
Also, when he's basically asking, are you ready for marriage, and your answer is, I want a guy who will come out and party with me and my friends, like, maybe you're just not on the same page.
Maybe.
Which is fine.
She's like, I'm not sure what to open up about other than the fact that my life has been, like, good.
It's one of the best lines I've ever heard on The Bachelor.
I mean, I'm glad she's had a good life. Like, that's great.
There's nothing wrong with that. And, like, there definitely is pressure to come up with, like, a sad thing that happened to you and to parade it as evidence that you are worthy of love and that you've, like, earned it through your, like, feminine suffering or whatever, or masculine suffering on The Bachelorette. But there have been plenty of contestants. It's usually a pretty privileged group. There have been plenty of contestants who've never really had anything bad happen to them. But you can still say what you like doing with your family or, you know, what your hobbies are.
Or you can turn, I mean, not like you should do this, but they turn almost anything into a tragedy. Like,
right. I don't think she should do that, but, like, she totally could.
Or just something that was, like, a meaningful turning point in your life. It could be, right. like, my 100-year-old grandpa died, and it wouldn't really be, that. I mean, that's sad.
But,
also.
Like, everyone dies eventually.
Yeah. Yeah,
I take a hard line on that.
Did she have a pet that died?
Did she have a relationship that ended? Maybe
yeah,
she
breakups.
Even maybe she even ended it herself, but it could have still taught her something. Like, you need to show some amount of introspection and just be a good conversationalist. Like, that would be the shortest date ever. If yeah. you sat down and it's like, let's have a conversation, be like, nothing to talk about. My life's been good. That's not how conversation works.
No.
It's hard to have them. It's hard to have them.
It is.
Priscilla, you're great at conversation.
Thank you. It's a struggle.
So he asks, like, trying to just pull some sort of details out of her, says, like, what is an intimate night like with your family? And she's just like, oh, intimate's the wrong word, which is kind of true. Like, it was a sort of weird way to phrase it, although perfectly, like, perfectly valid use of the word intimate. Maybe it has an odd connotation. But, like, she gets out of answering the question. And, like, answer the question. Say something. So finally, he's like, I was looking forward to getting to know you, but I don't feel the spark. And so I'm going to walk you out.
And she is shaken. The rest of the girls are shaken. Everyone is shaken.
He is not kidding around anymore.
No, he will make decisions. He will just send you home, not at a rose ceremony. Watch out, ladies.
Just because you're incredibly boring.
If you have literally no word to say about yourself.
She shouldn't have to. She's there for the right
reasons. Her life is good, and she goes out with friends. Okay, yeah. What more do you need, Priscilla?
What did she say? She was, he got rid of someone that was real, that was here. So it's like, I am a person.
I exist. I was physically in his space. What more could you ask for, Colton?
It was very Jeff Bezos sex, like a live girl. She's like, I'm alive and I'm here. I deserve everything.
She is very like, it's just so like, much of him to expect that he enjoy being around me. Like, that's beyond. Like, why should I have to fulfill that bizarre fantasy that he enjoy my company? But as he's walking her out, he tries to hold her hand, and she says, I don't think I want to hold your hand right now, Colton. And then he goes for her waist.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I missed that,
It
too.
Happens very quick. They're just walking, like, right after they get up. And I was like, Colton, if she doesn't want to hold your hand, she definitely doesn't want you, like, slinging your arm around her lower waist. But eventually she sort of like jogs up ahead of him a little, and he doesn't really get to give her the formal goodbye that they often give when they walk people out. But she just has a lot of feelings about how maybe he'll regret it, and he'll just be like, that really boring, uninteresting, shallow girl is still out there. Maybe she's actually a better option than these people I like hanging out with. Could happen. You never know. Mm-hmm. He gives the rose to Nicole, even though she's not strong physically.
But she is emotionally
strong.
Strong.
So the next morning, Chris comes in and says, I talked to Colton. Colton's made up his mind about what he wants to do. There will be no cocktail party tonight. They have pulled this so many times.
But there will be a pool party.
Oh, oh.
Get on you those bikinis, ladies. Get a mark. Get in the pool. We're out here.
There's just zero chance they would cancel a cocktail party week three and not replace it with a pool party. He, like, barely knows them.
Yeah.
Chris is like, you're going to hang out all day. He's going to have his shirt off.
Chris, thirsty.
Demi says that she likes it more than a cocktail party because she gets to be sexy Demi. I did not know there was another Demi. I feel like sexy Demi is the Demi we see every day in every context.
Yeah, there is not an unsexy Demi.
Yeah. I'd love to see unsexy Demi. I think it would give a little more depth to her character. But they all get out in their bikinis. Colton pulls up in his vintage burnt orange Jeep. And he takes his shirt off. Everyone's really into it. Demi spritzes oil on him. And then the rest of the day is about Hannah G versus Kaylin.
Ay, ay, ay.
Remember that back from the beginning?
So fun.
Hannah B wants to kind of relitigate what happened because she didn't get the result she wanted the first time. And Kaylin has kind of decided that it's time to really clearly make her case about Hannah B. So Hannah is sitting with Heather and saying, you know, I don't want to think about Kaylin anymore. I want to have fun. And then she sees Kaylin and Colton walk by hand in hand. And Heather says, well, my fear is that she's going to talk crap about you and he'll believe it. And Hannah's immediately like, you're right. I got to get in there. If she's going to talk crap about me, she better beware because there's a beautiful monster inside of me. There's a tank of rage. It's like full. The beast is about to come out. And then she gives an extended scream roar.
Haunting. Truly haunting.
Heather's reactions to through this are just so much. She keeps being, oh my God, what? What do you mean?
She's working behind the scenes.
She's like, I am getting on camera. And again, it's like, why would Kaylin talk crap about you? Oh, right, because you did it first. It's like this just happened out of nowhere. She's completely forgotten her role in starting this. But Kaylin does indeed sit down with Colton and say that basically when she placed in Miss USA, it got in Hannah's head. She started to talk shit about her. She started to be manipulative and deceitful. She noticed in the house that Hannah is again spiraling emotionally whenever Kaylin is getting, you know,
not
more
untrue.
Attention.
Mm-hmm.
Not untrue at all. She describes Hannah as toxic. Colton does not love hearing about this again. He says, you know, I had this one-on-one with Hannah and I really liked her and I didn't see that side of her and so it concerns me. He's clearly questioning his judgment. And so he goes and gets Hannah and says that Kaylin called her character into question. Some alarming things were said, manipulative, toxic, and deceitful, are the words that he just can't unhear.
Colton, you can't just repeat every word. So rude.
He is really handling this investigation about as poorly as I think he possibly could. He's like, I want to make sure that they all know exactly how much they hate each other, and I'm going to gather no new information.
But are you toxic?
He's like, please
that's
tell
the
me.
The word on the street.
Yeah, are you deceitful, yes or no? And are you lying?
But that's just what a deceitful person would say.
Such a pickle.
And he's like, that's not something I'm looking for. Which, listen, to each his own. Some people are really looking for a toxic, deceitful person. And she says, no, I'm not any of those things. It's just lies that aren't true. Why?
You know, as opposed to the lies that are true.
Right. Colton says, well, then why would she say that? Colton, you idiot. Obviously, everyone is highly motivated to say that their enemy is a monster.
Also, these two women don't like each other.
They don't like
Maybe
each other.
Maybe they just don't like each other and their friendship didn't work out. And it has fucking nothing to do with your choice.
And Hannah's clearly like, I came to you first and said that she was manipulative and deceitful.
So I can't be manipulative.
So why would I say that if it wasn't true? Works both ways, buddy. And she says, well, she's manipulative and fake. She can perform whatever she wants to be for whatever goal she has. And I believe if you picked Kaylin, you'd never see the full person. And it breaks her heart for him. She's just being so real about that. It really breaks
wow.
her heart.
That line, like, it's just amazing. I'm just sad for you.
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's about you. It's about concern for you.
I've never seen quite such a transparent instance of the I'm just trying to save the lead from heartbreak, but it's actually just competitiveness. Colton is completely losing his mind because he has two women telling him that the other person is manipulative and deceitful, but he has gathered no specific evidence that would help him discern which one is, if either, is telling the truth.
I feel like he can't really like Hannah that much, given what their first date looked like from the outside.
I feel like he didn't want to send home someone from his first one-on-one.
Yeah.
I also think the producers did not want him to send her home because of this exact reason. They needed this on
yeah.
film.
Yes, they were like, keep yes. trying. Keep giving her another
yeah.
chance.
Yeah, but I don't think he's that into her,
no.
really.
That's why I'm like, this is an especially bad move for her because at a certain point, it is going to feel like an ultimatum and he's going to choose Kaylin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, from a production standpoint, is just simply perfect.
Yeah, it's a good move.
Yeah, I do feel like he still has the sunk cost sort of psychology towards Hannah where he's like, I picked her first. I felt good the first night. I need to keep giving this a chance even though he doesn't, yeah, seem yeah. to be feeling it anymore. So he goes into a side room to vent to production about this. He doesn't know who to believe. Why? Maybe because he has, again, gathered no facts.
Do I believe that girl that the other girl's manipulative, or the other girl that the other girl's manipulative? Who can say?
Yeah, how could he not just ask?
Just give me the truth.
What did she do? What happened? Right. We're all dying to know.
Why do you think she's toxic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think she's manipulative? What did she do to you?
It's like getting two murder suspects on the stand and just being like, did you do it? Did you? Are you a murderer?
Why would you say that you did it if you did?
So Chris Harrison comes in to help Colton sort through his feelings. It doesn't actually seem to help at all because, again, no one has any facts. But Colton is just like, I'm frustrated. I like both of them, and I still don't know what the truth is, and I'm worried it will affect our relationships. And that appears to take up pretty much the entire pool party. He does get some time first with Hannah G, who didn't get a date that week, but she's clearly the front runner. He's like, I'm just so confident in what we have that I didn't even need to see you this week. And so they make out. And she continues to be like, I think she's just going to win. Like, I think he's
I think she's top four for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she'll win. But I think
I feel like she's the person that he's decided to pick. Maybe that'll change.
Maybe as of now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like that often carries through. But
then wouldn't you want to invite them even on the group dates?
Maybe. Well, every week some people don't get a date.
Yeah, I guess she'll probably get a one-on-one next week.
I think she'll get a one-on-one soon. And the other women are all, like, a lot of them still don't get any time with him at the pool party. Onyeka had something planned for him that she never had a chance. She thinks he would have enjoyed it more than listening to two pageant girls talk through their drama. But he did choose to talk through the drama with the pageant girls. So I think on some level, Colton really wanted to do that. I think he made those choices because he's actually super messy deep down.
The best pool party ever for him.
Colton is just always involved in a lot of drama for someone who hates drama.
It's true. Yeah.
The whole Tia situation. He loves it. So rose ceremony time. Hannah B is spiraling still. She's like, I thought that he and I had the strongest connection, but then, like, for some reason, Kaylin just told him crazy lies about her. Where did that come from? Kaylin showed herself to be a snake for some reason, unprovoked, definitely.
It's all a shock to me.
Yeah, yeah. Some real revisionist history happening here.
And the roses go to Hannah G, so she does get a little extra validation with getting the first rose. Tayshia, Katie, Cassie, Kirpa, Sydney, Demi, Tracy, Courtney, Heather, Onyeka, and finally, out of the roses called that night, Hannah B, which she takes as a stern rebuke.
It kind of was.
Yeah, it definitely was.
And Elise, Nicole, and Kaylin already had roses, so they're all safe as well.
Going home are Bree, Catherine, and Nina.
Which is none of them had screen time at all this week, so.
Yeah, that's Miss Australian fake accent and the woman who brought her dog for Colton to take care of.
And the woman who spoke, was it Ukrainian, Russian?
Croatian, I think.
Because she
was a refugee from the
war. Oh, wow. See, that is how little she's been on screen the last 2 weeks because I completely forgot about that story.
Yeah, I had to keep reminding myself. I sort of thought it would eventually come up, but she didn't stay on long enough. And he tells Catherine to give Lucy a big hug from him. He's come around on Lucy.
Catherine seems completely unfazed. She's like, I'm excited to see my dog.
She said earlier to Caitlin when Caitlin was freaking out that, like, she wasn't stressing. It'll happen if it happens. What I'm taking from that is that neither Catherine nor Colton was feeling this at all. And really, Colton is not someone that I would expect, like, a Florida DJ
to be into.
Like, they didn't seem to mesh to me.
She promised so much more drama, though.
I know.
She was such a blip.
That's happened a few times in the past where someone comes in really strong and messy night one and then just fizzles completely.
Yeah, she's like, this is exhausting. Just going to eat charcuterie.
Hannah is still losing her mind. She is happy that she's still there. She doesn't feel very good because she got the rose last. She just wanted to look at him and be like, why did you just do that? I really like you, but thank you.
I'm so glad for her she did not say that to him.
I feel like what she really needs to do is talk to Colton alone about how Kaylin is manipulative.
Yeah, I think she should definitely
maybe
do
maybe like
that.
A couple more times.
Maybe just say, throw out some more adjectives.
Yeah, yeah.
And do not back them up with any specifics.
Or just wait for him to start naming random bad traits and her just look knowingly. Like, yes.
Yes. You see, we're on the same page with this Kaylin situation, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't think she would have gotten the rose last if people didn't talk about her the way they have. She didn't deserve being talked about like that. It's so unfair.
So unfair.
Hannah so has, unfair that when you talk shit about someone to the person they're dating, that then it comes back to you.
She has the memory span of a goldfish. Like, she instigated this, like, 3 days ago. And that's it. Next week.
They're going to Singapore.
They're going to Singapore next week.
Which is pretty fun.
That's a good
good week four location.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bachelor always gets the best locations. So, yeah, Priscilla, final impressions of the ladies this week?
I think Hannah seems really sane and reasonable and like she's going to go far.
Thank you.
Just kidding. She seems totally bonkers. Who did I like? I wish we saw more from Cassie and Kirpa. And
I think we're going to see more from Cassie.
Yeah, I think so too. Really into Elise, obviously. And yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait to see this sweet little sexy golden retriever find his life partner.
And that is a perfect note for us to end on because I think we all share that sentiment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us, Priscilla.
Thank you for having me. You old hags.
And now it's time for Feminism Fails. And we talked earlier in the episode about some of the more thorny, nuanced issues that we had from that perspective with this episode. But we don't want to rate all of those. So we're just going to do a couple of the fun Demi moments. First of all, Demi age-shaming Tracy again with reference to Cougar Club and how intimidated she must be by younger women. We're going to keep giving that fours until she stops.
And then, of course, Demi blindfolded Colton and paddled him and groped him with a mannequin hand without his consent. We're going to give that one a 5.
Lack of consent is always a 5.
Always a 5. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our wonderful guest, Priscilla Frank, and our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts and give us a 5-star rating and review. You don't want to miss a moment of Colton's season recaps. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
And you can follow us individually on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
We'll be back on Tuesday.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere.
You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.